Hello. You've reached Austin Rich here at Mid Valley Mutations, and I'm not available right now. I'm on tour with many mutations as we go up and down the West Coast. And yeah, we might be playing in an area near you. Check it out. Go to our Instagram or Facebook page, and you'll see some tour dates where you can find us. In the meantime, why don't you check out this appearance that I made on the Live Friday program on KPSU with Red Panda Death March backing me up. This program is hosted by Rochelle Schmidt, DJ Rochelle, who's been hosting Live Friday for a while. And, you know, there's a lot of backstory behind this, but I actually used to host this program for many years. So it was very weird being on the other side of the studio wall, so to speak. But it was still a lot of fun. Yeah, here's the podcast version that's out now. And who knows, there may be some other recordings floating around. So we'll probably post those as soon as they're available. So yes, why don't you enjoy this little podcast? And yeah, look forward to new Mid-Valley Mutations on October 26th. Thank you.
This is DJ Rochelle here on KPSU, Portland's college radio station, which has been broadcasting since 1994 on the Portland State campus and streaming to you worldwide now, 24/7 at www.kpsu.org. We have Mid Valley Mutations in the studio, going to perform some great music for us. But of course, I have to remind you that the views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent KPSU, Portland State University, or any of our participating affiliates. Listener discretion is advised.
The social media giant has power to boost national elections.
I'm just about to log on to Facebook. Is Facebook a trap?
Foreign propagandists enabled Trump ads in the news feeds of swing state voters.
They sold about $100,000 of advertisements to what they call inauthentic accounts.
Confessions of a social network junkie.
Operated out of Russia during the campaign.
Specific data about who to target with those ads.
Facebook advertising basics. We're going to have probably five or six videos in this series, and we're just going to go through the basics of Facebook advertising. How to use it, how to avoid getting in trouble with it, and how to set up some really basic ads.
Web ads, not subject to campaign finance rules that apply to TV and radio.
I'm just about to log on to Facebook. trap.
The nature of online advertising is such that ads appear on screens for just a few hours and are limited to the audience that the advertiser has chosen.
We haven't had an election
There's no disclosure on funding, and as you described, there's no disclosure on content either. There's no disclosure on funding, and as you described, there's no disclosure on content either. A machine can't recognize a political ad. A machine can't recognize a political ad.
I actually think that the issue is much larger than that.
What are you seeing?
The truth is, we haven't had an election.
Maybe the most important step we're taking is we're going to make political advertising more transparent.
The truth is, we haven't had an election.
Maybe the most important step we're taking is we're going to make political advertising more transparent.
Love of democracy. Love of democracy.
I want anyone to use our tools to undermine democracy. That's what we say. I'd want anyone to use our tools to undermine democracy. That's what we stand for. Giving people a voice. Those are democratic values, and we're proud of them. I'd want anyone to use our tools to undermine democracy.
The ongoing surrender of our privacy. The ongoing surrender of our privacy.
Facebook is planning to undermine democracy.
And then a hollowed out volcano in Silicon Valley trying to figure out how to destroy the world.
These are villains, right? and Facebook is planning to undermine democracy.
And then a hollowed-out volcano in Silicon Valley trying to figure out how to destroy the world.
These are villains,
it's actually,
right? Undermining our democracy. It's undermining social cohesion. They are effectively private governments. And if we don't get a hold of them, then they will increasingly govern us.
Confessions of a Social Network Junkie.
The attention economy. The attention economy. You get jealous, you get angry, you debate in unproductive and hostile ways. The public doesn't understand.
That's what we stand for. Those are democratic values and we're... Maybe the most important step we're taking is we're going to make political advertising more transparent. I'd want anyone to use our tools to undermine democracy. That's what we stand for.
Remember and respect that, and you're using it for your business. Because I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I've certainly never heard of anyone going on Facebook with the intention of purchasing something. So that's why. You know, you don't want to be sort of ramming links down people's throats and things like that.
I'm just about to log onto Facebook.
Even more information about...
specific data about who to target with those ads.
What's going on in their world, in their YouTube, interact with their family and friends, and a lot of them are there to watch cat videos and disaster videos, things like that. Now, one thing to really remember is that Facebook protects its users. They like to protect their users' experience. And if people complain to Facebook about ads and spammy posts they see, Facebook are going to stop them. Now,
is Facebook a trap? Confessions of a Social Network Junkie.
I would say that's Confessions of a Social Network Junkie live at KPSU. yeah.
Thank you, Mid-Valley Mutations.
Yeah, well, you know, and this is actually the live version of that. So this is mini mutations. It's like a miniature version of the program.
I appreciate you letting me put out the mini dinosaurs and duckies in front too.
Oh yes, we will make sure to snap photos and include these with the show because these are gorgeous. Thank you so much for having us on Live Friday. This is great.
Oh, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Before we get too far, I should have you formally introduce yourselves.
Yes, my name is Austin. I'm I make sounds for many mutations.
I'm Joe. I'm sitting in with Austin today. I am in Red Panda Death March, which we also make noises.
Yes, and that's a more Portland-centric combo RPDM. Yeah.
How did you two meet?
Oh gosh, probably through the well, Kisu first off drugged me to a show when your old band was playing, and then we did a in session here. No, I went to your house. We recorded you at your place, and then we came here, and then you started doing more modular things, and I started doing this, and. Just kind of, yeah, you know how these things happen. It's like dating or something like that, you know? It's like one day you hang out and then you hang out again, and you know.
And suddenly you're like, wait, we're a couple?
Right. You know, it's like 10 years later and you're like, oh my gosh, we missed anniversaries? Oh, come on.
All right, tell me a little bit about your gear you have here. You have lots of interesting noisemakers.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two things that are kind of the backbone of my sound. It's a delay pedal and a pair of CDJs. And in the true sense of like collage and remix and things like that, almost everything that I was playing today are cut from other stuff. So the backing music and the backing tracks are actually KPSU recordings of live artists that played here. And then I cut samples from their performances and tweaked them and edited them and remixed them and things like that.
That's very meta now that it's on Live Friday.
Yes. And some of it was Live Friday performances, although with KPSU stuff, we had live all the time in the old days. So there was bands in the afternoons and mornings and Saturdays and that kind of. So that's the basics of my gear. I also just have like a computer for straight sample playback. So.
And then I use a lot of gear by a company called Trogatronic. It's a small company out of like Burbank. It's all analog synthesizers. I'm using the 657 and the 669 right now. Both just little tabletop synths that make a lot of noise.
Yeah, I mean, they're like tiny. Yeah. Tiny, tiny, tiny machines.
One's the size of Austin's Walkman.
Oh, and there is a little analog. I'm playing some cassette feedback and stuff. But, yeah. That's mostly for texture.
Okay. What are you going to play next?
I figured that since we don't get to play together much, that we might just kind of do like a little improvised jam. You know, like part of the Mini Mutations philosophy is that we don't spend a lot of time writing. There's not a lot of like pre-planning. It's more about trying to be in the moment. And so we don't get to see each other much. So let's be in the moment.
Let's go for it.
Give me 3 or 4 seconds to dial in something new. This makes great live radio as I'm sitting here talking about setting the gear to new things for you to hear. Let's see. We'll give a little shout out to What's This Called. I'm actually going to play some samples of some What's This Called live performances for this one in the background. So, and I think this one will be instrumental.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I've wanted to ask jazz musicians this anytime they're jamming together.
Sure.
How do you know when a song is done?
Hmm.
Like, where do you decide, okay, this is the end of the song?
Yeah.
When you're riffing like that.
I'll have Joe definitely weigh in on this one. But, like, for me, it's really about, like, kind of feeling it out. Like, in the moment, obviously, whatever's happening is kind of more important than whatever you planned. So, like, if he starts going in one direction, I got to follow. And if, you know, I start kind of leaning in another direction, he kind of joins me. So I don't know. Like, it just kind of works.
I look at how long the song's been. Once it gets to, like, 28 minutes, then you should slow down.
Right. 28's the cutoff. Then we're really getting into ridiculous territory.
But I noticed you have similar sort of exchange of looks that I see jazz musicians do, it's like the smile, the nod. Mm-hmm. You kind of bend your body a certain way towards each other or back again as you can feel the groove or not feeling it.
Yeah, you're like leaning into it or you're backing off, you know, like that. It just kind of depends on the moment. So
sometimes I'm like, wait, are you making that sound or am I making that sound because I like it?
Yeah, that is, I mean, like with this kind of equipment, even when you know what you're producing and you're pushing the button and controlling it, like you start to get into the zone where you're like, wait, that could be part of his set. Wait a minute. Yeah. So I think that's what improv goes for, is where the overall sound, you get lost in it rather than I'm going to focus on the guitar solo here and the drummer gets his moment to shine. You know, it's kind of like the blending of all of those things is good improv, I think.
Yeah. So to switch gears on you a little bit, you're on tour right now.
I am, yes. Oh my gosh, let me get my notes here. Yeah, I am on tour. We played last night in Sacramento, or sorry, San Francisco. Already it's getting confusing.
All starts to blur together.
Yeah, but so this is like the October tour, as I'm calling it, where we, from the 4th to the 31st, playing like 17 shows. So last night was San Francisco, KPSU tonight. And then on the 7th, I'll be in Sacramento. And then I'm really looking forward to this on the 9th. I'm going to be collaborating with Phineas Narco, who's worked with Negative Land and on the Over the Edge radio show. And so we're going to do a little in-studio collaboration at his home radio station, KFJC. There's going to be a lot of radio stops on this one. I'm stopping in at Radio Valencia in San Francisco, KPFA in Berkeley, KWVA in Eugene, KMUZ in Salem. Stops in Oregon, California, and Washington. And I get to play several of these dates with some pretty cool people in experimental music. Mark Hostler of Negative Land being the main event. I'm playing several dates with him, but Big City Orchestra, Juice Machine, Instagon, Don Haugen, Dead Air Fresheners, Big City Orchestra, I think I already mentioned. This is kind of one of those dreams where like you start playing radio and DJing and you're like, oh, it'd be really fun to like meet some of these people that you like, and then you're opening for them. I don't know how this happened.
So how did it happen?
Maybe about a year ago I reached out to the members of Negative Land and said, hey, do you want to do an interview for radio? And they were into it, and so I spoke to all the living members, and then several months later, I got this mysterious email saying, like, hey, do you want to help Mark get some shows out in Oregon? And kind of went from there. So the big show is on the 31st in Seattle, where it's we're the opening act. Mark Hostler is the main event, and there's going to be some secret stuff that's not yet announced happening at the Rebar in Seattle. So if you're looking for something fun to do on Halloween, I know a place.
Okay, for anyone who can't write this fast, where can they go online to find more info?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. We just did this whole Facebook thing. But yeah, Facebook.com is a website on the internet where you can find us. Mini Mutations comes up pretty quick. And there's a little list of all the dates and where we're at and where we're going to be. In Oregon and in Portland in particular, October 18th, we're doing a little live streaming thing with the Dead Air Fresheners, which should be a lot of fun. So,
shout out to Dead Air Fresheners.
And then I'm only playing a few dates on the tour, but if you don't make it down to Corvallis to see Mini Mutations October 20th, my band, Red Panda Death March, will be playing with a drummer, which is a little different. We kind of do two different things. At the Speakeasy on October 20th with Snakes, Tongues, and Bad Mouth. So,
and isn't there a Towers connection?
Yeah, Tongues is the new band from the people from Towers, and they're really good. So, you know, I suggest you go down to Corvallis, but if you can't do that, just come to that show instead.
Basically, there's a lot of stuff to see and hear. this is actually a big push. We've got some CDs and albums out that you can find on Bandcamp, wtbc.bandcamp.com. Confessions of a Social Network Junkie is the main thing. The cool thing about the releases is that if you get the digital version, it comes with bonus stuff not on the CDs. The CDs come with bonus stuff not on the digital version. The tape you can only get on tape, so it's not available in any other form but tape. So each form you buy has got a little something special if you dig what we're doing. So
cool. All right, let's hear some more.
Yeah, one more.
I'm speechless.
Well, that's a good effect to have. I like that.
What do you hope for when someone comes to see you perform? Like, what do you expect of the audience?
You know, so we started as a radio thing. The whole project began as us just kind of doing things on the radio, and then it evolved and evolved and evolved. And so my hope is that when somebody hears it, it's like when you're tuning the dial and something catches your attention. But that's kind of the hope, is that, like, they hear it and they're like, oh, hey, this is different, and they lean in, and, you know, like, I don't know, it would be, if I heard this suddenly on the radio, especially given how common it is to hear just rock music on the radio, it would definitely cause me to stop. So I'm making stuff that would make me tune in, I guess.
I just mostly hope it confuses people into thinking differently about music. I think one of the best quotes I've ever heard about music is 12 notes make a man deaf. because kind of if you're stuck within that normal like scale of or idea of what music is, yes, you got the same 12 notes. And yeah, you can put them in a lot of ways, but you can also do a lot of other weird stuff to kind of not push the envelope, because it's not like I'm the first person or Austin's the first person to do noise music. But, you know, maybe get some other people to think about it differently.
Yeah, for sure. Like, what I definitely think about with this is that, you know, you've seen a million rock bands play a million songs exactly the same way as they always do on the radio. And so when we're doing this, I'm hoping that, like, for, you know, maybe a half hour or so, you don't expect a rock song and go with us on a different play. You can always go back. The Ramones are still great. Like, you know, you listen to that all you want. But, like, maybe check this out and get a different flavor, and then you can go back to your rock songs afterwards.
How did you get introduced to this type of music?
Oh, man. You know, when I lived in Eugene in the 90s, I would hang out at this place called the Glenwood, which was near the U of O campus. So this was where anybody who was going to the campus radio station would be hanging out beforehand, or if you were about ready to go see a show, you'd get some coffee beforehand. It was one 24-hour place in town. Well, no, there's more than that, but it was a big central hub. And I just remember all these guys there saying, like, oh, you should check out Negative Land. You should check out Nurse with Wound. You should check out, you know, all these groups that I had no idea what the heck they were talking about. And so, you know, you just start picking things up here and there, and you go into the record store, and suddenly asking for the Minutemen becomes asking for Cabaret Voltaire, and, you know, I don't know. I guess it's like how you find anything else. You know, friends tell you to go get something, and then you do, and then you love it.
For me, I wanted to be in a band where I programmed all the drums like Agoraphobic Nosebleed, but I didn't know how to do that, so I just started circuit bending stuff, and then I realized, oh, that's more fun.
Yeah.
So it was like one of my bands broke up. I was like, I'm going to start this new crazy grindcore project with electronic drums. And then I realized that I'm not that good at that. So I picked something else.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's what experimental music offers, is that like for people who are usually used to like going like, oh man, it's really hard to play guitar, or the drums are really tough. Like, how do I do, like, you know, this is like a very, you get results very quickly. You get to hear music very quickly, and it's music you made, and you don't have to like study guitar for years or take lessons. You don't need that 10,000 hours like Gladwell says. You can just start making sounds, and then I think that that's so rewarding that it's hard to not continue.
So you got hooked on the instant gratification?
A little bit, but also like, I don't hear this elsewhere, you know? Like, it really is like experimentation, and like put it on lab coats, we have it on the table, we don't know what it's going to sound like, maybe it'll be different this time. And so, like, that, I think that's fun, you know? Like, I mean, I could play Smoke on the Water the same way every time, but, like, this allows me to do something different every night. So.
Yeah, and, like, for me, like, one of my little boxes doesn't have any labels on it. So, like, and it's so wildly sensitive that, like, every time I play it, I kind of learn something new about it. And it's always a little different, no matter if I think, like, okay, if this knob's at, you know, 12 o'clock, it'll make this sound. But then if it's at, like, 11:59, it's a totally different sound sometimes. So that's also one of the things I like about it, is that it's not necessarily stuck in one thing. And even with the equipment I use, it kind of, like, keeps me on my toes.
For sure.
Now, circling back to the Wayback Era.
Yes.
You, many moons ago, we're the Live Friday host.
Yeah, which is, it's so weird being in this part of the room for this performance and this part. You know, like, it's so funny. Like, I set up hundreds of bands down here, never once being the performer.
So, little surreal.
Yeah, it is a little surreal, but it's bringing back a lot of cool memories, and I miss KPSU for that reason. So, yeah.
Very cool. What was one of your favorite things to ask bands?
Ooh, you know, I was always very curious about, because especially when I started at Live Friday, it was really like getting into MP3s. It was into digital releases. It was like people were starting to have stuff for sale online. And so I was always very curious about their relationship between recording and how it was distributed. But that's kind of changed. Everybody does digital. There's nobody who doesn't do a digital release. So like I wouldn't ask that question per se. I'd ask more like, you know, where do you practice, or what's your, you know, home studio like? Because I think that that's a more instructive question. Like, I think you get more out of somebody when you say, like, hey, how do you make this stuff?
Now we have in the room the legendary DJ Vic Chorla from The Guitar Shop. He was hanging out here.
All I wanted to say is sooner or later, they all come back to the nest.
This is true. Wow. It's like 2004 all over again. Where's Angelo?
I mean, you did mention Dead Air Fresheners, which, you know.
That's true.
That's another KPSU reference there.
Yeah. You know, it's. I mean, I know the What's This Called just had their last broadcast, which was a bummer, but What's This Called will live on as it did before. This was a second home for What's This Called, so there'll be a third and maybe a fourth. But yeah, like, there's so many. You know, I'm glad to hear. I think Jim Winston's still here, right? Yeah,
he is the longest running DJ here.
Yeah, see, so some of the old folks are still kicking around. So, but yeah, it is funny, because like, I walking around campus today, I realized how much younger everybody looks, and it's like, oh wait. Actually, I need to reverse that statement. The school did not get smaller.
That is not why I put the dinosaurs out, just for the record.
Zing.
Although there are dinosaurs on the old KPSU stickers.
Yeah, that's true. That's been a thing for the station for a long time. So.
Well, welcome back to the station.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you know, for people who are listening who are like, wow, this is kind of interesting, please check us out on Facebook. That's the only place we have the show dates and whatnot right now. But it's Mini Mutations. Type in, it's the only thing that comes up. Yeah, we got all 17 dates. A lot of them are going to be on the radio, so no matter where you live, you can tune it in. And then for the ones that are physical locations, tough, come and see it live.
For anyone who wants to purchase your music, where should they go?
Oh, yeah, wtbc.bandcamp.com for digital, and you can also buy the physical releases there, too, but it's like $1 or $2 more for shipping, because I got to buy postage and things. So, and you can get some RPDM stuff online, but there's like a single coming soon, or?
Yeah, we only have like really old stuff online. We're recording, in theory, soon, sometime. We keep writing new music and going, okay, we're going to put 4 songs on this one. It's going to be a 4-songer. It's going to be great. And then we're like, but this 5th song's getting really good. So so we'll see. Hopefully by 2020, so we'll have something out.
Hindsight's always fun.
So before you leave,
can you do a quick station ID?
Oh, yes.
And doing your band name drop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mini Mutations loves KPSU's Live Friday. Come on down and listen. There's always something fun to listen to, see, hear, or whatever your jam is. And maybe it'll be a little mutated.
Beautiful. Thank you.
One from you, too.
Yeah. This is Joe from Red Panda Death March saying thanks for listening to KPSU Live Friday. It's awesome. Yeah.
Go Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to weird stuff, and sometimes probably not weird stuff on here, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A wide range of things, weird to not.
Anything else you wanted to mention or make sure people knew about?
Yeah, you know, just come and check us out. Like I said, I'm playing some shows with Mark Hossler from Negative Land, doing one with the Big City Orchestra, which is awesome. All the radio stuff is pretty cool. I like playing on the radio because that's kind of where I come from. So yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Well, thank you guys so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.